Venus' lowest physical life level is etheric. From the book, Diane, came from Venus. Part 2. Spiritual healing. For many long centuries we has been to establish a premise upon which to satisfactorily explain the principle of teleportation. For by means of teleportation we Venusians have possessed teleportive powers. By teleportation I the ability to depart from one point and reappear in another with the speed of thought. It is only possible to teleport a solid body where there is a perfectly balanced interchange between spirit and matter. Only the perfectionist, one who has touched the center of the universe, can teleport or be teleported. Through the centuries a few earthlings have been instructed in the art of these celestial mechanics. There are many recorded instances of mysterious appearances and disappearances, even of whole civilizations vanishing without a trace. In teleportation the vibrations must transcend time and space. Time and space is eliminated. There must be intense visualization. When the vibrations are speeded up, raised a full octave above the usual norm, then seemingly lifeless matter yields to the mind's every command. In teleportation there must be but one thought and that thought, all-powerful. My daughter, teleportation is the act of uniting spirit with matter at center. This you have seen in your vegetable kingdom where it is called spontaneous generation. Again I repeat, in rare instances teleportive powers have been given to earth beings. Teleportation is very difficult for terrestrians, for yours is a planet of slow vibration while ours is instantaneous. Earthman, even the greats, more often than not, go off balance in their attempts. An objective-subjective relationship runs through all things. Where there is perfect balance, so-called lifeless matter springs to life merely by the power of thought. Again I repeat. Before teleportation is possible a foundation must be first created. Only then can the creative power of God's inspired word be made flesh. You saw the result of this godly command when I manifested to you and others in teleportive substance. First by means of a dynamic creative will I affirmed that which was flesh should be made spirit. In an instant the atoms of my fleshly body started to disintegrate. Instantly I was surrounded by an invisible shadow body. In the length of time it takes thought to travel through space I arrived at my destination. Still clothed in a thought body I again gave the command that the invisible should take on embodiment. I spoke the word, I am Diane. I am made manifest in earthly form. Instantly the fleshly atoms whirled into pattern. And as you saw, in an instant a state of solidity was reached. I was Diane not in spirit, but in flesh. My daughter. Always remember, without inner perfection there can be no outer perfection. There must be perfect balance between the realm of spirit and the realm of materiality. In this great universe there are worlds within worlds, each carries its own rate of vibration into higher worlds. Balance is the keynote. Should one go too far in one direction, not far enough in another, the purpose is defeated. Osiris. Skill makes all things possible. As I have said, in teleportation solid bodies are moved by an unseen force. Before teleportation can be demonstrated the power of thought must correspond with the state of manifestation. Visualization must be all, forceful. Only in this way can the state of the life, giving plasms be altered. That you might better understand, child of earth. Let me put it still another way. In teleportation, substance is drawn from the cosmos and molded into form by the power of thought alone. This applies not only to animate, leavened, bodies, but inanimate bodies as well. A concentration in consciousness is needed for the performance of teleportation. A concentration in consciousness is likewise needed for any world-changing event. This is the principle of direct creation. Child of Earth. While there have been rare instances of teleportation on your Earth plane, it will be many centuries before Earth bodies are sufficiently subtle to make teleportation general. Perhaps the most outstanding evidence of teleportation on your plane was that of your great teacher, Jesus, the Christ, while they beheld he was taken up in a cloud. And I looked and beheld a white cloud, and upon that cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. My daughter, be not alarmed when a voyager from other planets comes into your midst. Open up your heart in welcome, for such a one brings you a message. Again I take my leave with blessings. Till we meet again. I could hear the faint strains of a beautiful hymn. God be with you till we meet again. With the perfume of rare incense in my nostrils, Diane was gone. From page 69, on, Thoughts, high up in the pine, trees cliffs of Pine Cove, California, Diane found me again. The beautiful late summer's morning seemed to put new life into the birds' sweet song. Skinny and Janie, two play, loving squirrels, were scolding for their breakfast, for it was past their peanut time. These little grey playsters were more like tree spirits than lively animals. How completely they had come to rely on humans for their daily repast. There was a slight chill in the air, but it was clean and fresh and redolent with the scents from the mountain's yellow pine. I thought I heard her, whispering in my ear. Good morning, child of earth. Let us sit together again, for the days are shortening and there is so much to be said. I could not see her with my mortal eyes, but I greeted her with a smile. I had now learned how to be tranquil when she appeared. Your earth, she began, is swimming in a sea of negation. Negative thinking has come out of the depths of time, and earth, man is moored to tradition's negative guillotine. For ages, mass humanity has been steeped in negative thoughts. Wrong thinking has held him captive in the catacombs of suffering. He has lived in a world of despairing hopes because he has not tried to burst the shell of ignorance. The thoughts Earthman has so carelessly planted have ripened on his tree of life. Child of Earth, to think error is to breed error. Thought is more powerful than your armies, for if it were not for wrong thinking there would be no need for armies. The world man abhors, Afska, he has himself created through wrong thinking. But it can be quickly re-made when he replaces thoughts of error with thoughts of truth. Remember, my daughter, behind all things visible are the molds of thought. All visible manifestal things are created whether for good or for evil. Creation emanates from these thought patterns. If Earthman so wills, he can change from a being of decaying flesh, for fallen grope, to a healthy vital individual, by the power of thought alone. He can likewise change from a state of impoverishment to a rich and abundant life. Throughout these eons of time, Earthman has been bound to the lower prisons by the bonds of his erroneous thinking. If it were not for the scattered few true thinkers, my daughter, your world would soon wither and die. The time is coming when you too will have the power over circumstances through thought. You will be able to mold the primordial substances into solids by means of thought alone. It has been our great privilege to have direct and semi-direct creation for many long years. The time is close at hand when we will be able to bring all manifestation through the mental planes. Thought is creative, my daughter. Thoughts are the healing blocks. Thoughts are the building blocks. The power of thought is all powerful. In your world there is a saying, murder will out. A murderer is caught not so much by clever police tracking, but the murderer is usually trapped by his own thoughts. He is discovered because the poignancy of the thought stuff has registered in the universal ethers. How long did the secret of your atom bomb remain a secret? Not long, as you well know. Likewise, through thought, there is nothing impossible of accomplishment. Where one mind speaks to another, where there is attunement and mutual interest, there is also the wonder, working power of thought. Through thought every desired mind pattern is created into form. Your Earth scientists are today trying every sort of magic in an attempt to short-circuit thinking. We Venusians need no scientific precision instruments for having learned how to keep our minds clear. Sharp and clean, we carry our mind patterns to their own fulfillment. Thought is free. It can go anywhere, at any time. Thought can travel through space. It can travel with the speed of light. Thought can function one plane to another. That is why our beneficent influence can be sent to any part of the universe. World domains are no barriers to thought. When Earthlings learn how to control and manipulate thought, They will go straight because they will think straight. Then only can earthlings get real enlightenment and wisdom. Clear, concise thinking should be made a habit, an emotionally controlled habit. Constructive thoughts only should be permitted to sink into the subconscious mind. The mind should be cleared of all thought debris before embarking on slumber. Negative and destructive thoughts sink deep into the subconscious channels there to bring forth distorted manifestations. The understructure of our Venusian educational system is there, teaching of constructive thinking. We feed the mind creative values. We do not deal in memory courses. Young minds in the formative stage need not be impressed with the letter of events. A properly trained mind can of its own accord tune in on these events at any time. Intuitional knowledge is true knowledge. In our educational work we stress finer and finer grades of thinking, for in the realm of thought is to be found the alpha and omega of existence. Pure perception is simplicity itself once the mind is properly trained. Dimensions in human understanding are increased by the power of thought. Thoughts, negative or positive, cut deep grooves into the consciousness. If an unwanted thought is put there, it should be replaced with a more powerful, fresh creation. Child of Earth, extended vision with us means merely opening up the doors of the mind. We deem it far more important to keep our mental house clean than our physical abode. Your fastidious Crescent Earth mother would blush with shame could she but view the cluttered condition of her invisible house. She would be mortified at the disorder she finds there. Unwanted thought forms can be dissolved and eliminated by creating more powerful thought forms to take their place. This rule, rigidly and properly applied, is the solution to all problems. We of the higher planets pay tribute to your pioneer souls, who in their feeble way are trying to bring enlightenment to Earth's children. Superior knowledge has been reserved for the few, but in recent years your more adventuresome universities have brought studies in thought to the more advanced minds. This is a major step toward achievement. It will be through the channels of thought that an empire of peace will one day reign upon your Earth. When the principles of thought can be applied to the task of living, illness as you know it on Earth will disappear. You will never again know poverty with its contingent sorrows. Opportunities will be everywhere present. You will know the mind as a sacred shrine, the door between that which you know and that which is desired to be known. In the depths of the human mind you will find the answer to every problem. Today you have the greatest opportunity in all your long histories, for in any transition period there is always cosmic assistance. If you will but open the doors of your mind, we of the distant planets will help precede your spiritually depleted souls. We can help you to rise to the heights of greatness. Some from the chapter Death on page 74, on your earth plane when death ensues the atoms of flesh slowly disintegrate. That is only because earth bodies are composed of denser materials than ours. We have learned to dissolve the atoms just as we do in teleportive flight. That which has vitalized the substance of the body becomes the vital power of consciousness. Never fear when death draws nigh, my child. It is only the terror of death and not death itself that strikes like the knife or a sword. Many earthlings go on ahead of their time, for when the body powers are at low ebb and fear enters the soul, fear speeds on the end. The fear of death goes back to the time when your earth was young. Earthman knew only that which his senses taught him. Terror played a part in his growth. But with it came the age, long fear of death. My child, if Earthman could only glimpse the glorious world that beckons him, he would quickly shed, legivec, his fears. That which binds him to the lower purgatories, the so-called hells, that is not death. It is man's own fears that have taken on form. If he would but venture behind the curtain of the unknown, he would have an understanding of that which he fears. In that moment he would banish his fears forever. Death, my child, is like changing a garment, going from a mortal cloak to a sheath of color, tinted plasms. The body, a temporary house of clay, is no different in particles than the substance that goes to make up all of nature's undeveloped forms. But within man's fleshly form there is a vital spark. This spark is absent in the lesser forms. It is sad to think about, child of earth. But few there are on your plane of existence who are without apprehension, anxious, when transition time draws nigh. Yet from birth to the last day the soul is housed in mortal body, it has unconsciously sought that which it has feared. Never has earthman been happy with today, but he has ever looked for tomorrow to bring him joys. Each tomorrow has led him closer to that which he has unwittingly sought, for the soul yearns to drink from the eternal fountain. This unconscious longing for renewal is the spiritual thirst of man. The body goes back to the soil from whence it came, but the soul goes onward and upward in an endless round of progress. Countless men of earth have pondered the question, why should a perfect spark choose to go through long periods of suffering? Why should it need to tread the same birth, and death path? I say to you, my daughter, in each life, whether on the planet Earth or the myriads of planets in the great system, each learns something that is needed for the ultimate victory of the soul. This is God's way, my child. It is His will. Does not your Bible state, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. No, my daughter. Death does not end all, for there is no death. It will be a day of great rejoicing, jubal, when earthman no longer fears the transition. In that day there will be no more evil on earth, for behind every destructive thought, back of every evil deed, is the fear of death. When the time comes when you can stand by as we do, and watch life spring forth from primordial essence, then you will have no more fears. Your Bible states, in my Father's house are many mansions. When death comes and the soul goes up to the bar of justice, it is then sent to the mansion it has earned for itself. It lives in surroundings to which it has become attuned. As one star differs from another, so does soul differ from soul. In each respective mansion the soul is taught to grow. This is the never-ending joy of the upward climb. I hear you sighing, my daughter. As all Earth's children have sighed. It seems like a Herculean task to you now, but life need not be stumbling and awkward. There are guideposts, many guideposts along the path. Evolution's growth is slow and tedious, but the eventual goal will one day be reached. From page 79 she talk more on the theme love, child of earth. Try to listen through space for the voice of one who has not forgotten. Try to make every breath, a breath of love. Try to make every word a word of love. Make every act an act of love. To do so, is to love and be loved. When you find the great jewel of love in your heart, you will find also, as you walk down the streets of life, the good and the noble in every soul you meet. You will then know the meaning of your master's words, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When this kind of love can embrace all forms of life from lowly man to the holy angels, then will the beings of earth live in love and know love in all its highest vistas. Utsun, again my daughter, I must go, and again I leave with my blessings. Diane, spiritual healiness the theme dash. Here from page 84, your men of science look to the physical vehicle as a medium of illness, while this is only the crystallized counterpart of a distorted sheath beneath the etheric body. The state of health of the physical body is wholly dependent on the state of health of the etheric body. Your scientists are unwilling to investigate. They will not try to grasp the relationship as it applies to life and living. They refuse to believe that all real healing must take place outside the body. Earthman functions in and through a body, but he is not a material being. The principle of spiritual healing is simple indeed. Could I but take you behind the scene, I would show you the framework or the structure that carries the life substance. You would see it is constructed with the art and skill of a spider's web, and not too unlike it in appearance. It is made up of infinitely fine silken wires through which flows a substance slightly heavier than the consistency of milk. Whitish in color with a slight tint of blue in the auric emanation. The most attenuated psychic sense of Earthman has not been able to discern the miracle that takes place. Until proper precision instruments have been created, this mystery will remain. If it were possible for Earthman to view the invisible mechanism surrounding the physical body, or perhaps I should better say, surrounding the web, like framework, you would be able to see the fine, golden grating that acts as a filter through which the rarefied substances flow in, and the poisonous unwanted plasms flow out. This grating is reinforced with pin points of delicate fuzz designed to collect the debris. From this point, electrical energy is drawn from the universe. To explain it another way, my daughter, it is through the tiny openings of this grating, the surround, that the life force is admitted. For the life force is no more, no less than the plasms that are always existent on higher planes. The secret of instantaneous spiritual healing is dependent upon these plasms. The body is only sickened when the plasms have lost their ability to serve. They lose their ability to serve when the grating is clogged or disturbed. Bear in mind, life does not exist in the body but in a field removed from the body. It serves the body by means of this surround. If the channels from the universal field are kept open and free, and the area between the grating and the physical form and this golden grating kept clean and pure, disease germs could not find lodgement in the body at any point. When the cell life is kept under control and domination by the mind, as in spiritual healing, then as transmutation takes place, the unwanted material is instantly dissolved. You see, my daughter, only when there is proper adjustment between the inner and the outer can the magnetic forces of the universe flow freely. Child of Earth. Healing is merely changing the state of illness to a state of health through spiritual osmosis. Spiritual healing is a true science. The truest of them all. To inject vile pus, jis ligmatary, into the body is to create future vileness. To put clean plasms into the body is to create a lasting healthy state. When your scientific minds turn away from pus and turn toward cosmic psychics, then will they find the many answers that elude them today. Inspired vision is the harbinger of events to come. One of the great revelations of your day came when you were told to erect a healing shrine on this strip of hallowed earth. Countless miracle healings will take place here. Many who come to visit will be carried away on waves of spiritual ecstasy. Others will experience newly awakened minds. There will be a few to whom illumination will come. In the days ahead, this holy shrine will be one of the contact points between the planet Venus and the planet Earth. Many will hear the voices from other spheres. My daughter, the sacred incandescent flame enkindled in you before departure for our land of glory will be likewise enkindled in others. I say to you, keep the incense pots always burning. Keep your fires alive on the holy altar. You will then be able to see our beacon lights. You will be able to communicate with us. Moreover, you will know God in the true light of knowing God. I take my leave now, my daughter, for I have much work to do on other planes. I work not only on the concrete planes of existence, but in the etheric worlds as well. I go now to my etheric home on Ether, Kana. I shall return, but in the interim of waiting, carry on your work with an enlightened heart. Fear not the setbacks that will be strewn in your path. The door to transcendental realizations has been opened. Use your potentialities to the utmost limit. When in doubt, you will always find the answer here in your desert sanctuary. God bless you, my Earth child. Till we meet again. Diane, hear about an alleged incarnated from Venus, more or similar on astral life on Venus, the radio and later physical UFO contacts of Bob Reynolds in 1961, more on higher life on Venus, Mars, Part 1, main page, from another site, UFOs FAQ, Q. How do UFOs connect with the coming of Maitreya? A. There is a relationship. What the UFOs are doing, put very broadly and simply, is preparing a platform for Maitreya. Most of the UFOs visiting this planet come from Mars and Venus. Most of them, even the Venusian ones, are made on Mars, which is a kind of great industrial planet. All of them are of subtle, etheric, not dense physical, matter. They can lower the vibrational rate of that matter until it comes within the range of our sight, so for a limited period they are visible. Normally, unless you have etheric vision, they would be invisible, but to the Martians, the Venusians and so on, they are visible because they are in that same kind of energy. If you went to Mars, you would see nothing, yet there are more people on Mars than on this planet. Their technology is thousands of years ahead of ours at the present time, but when we have the new technology of light, which will be as soon as the planet settles down, The principle of sharing is governing and there are no wars. The technology of light will give us all the energy we need directly from the sun. This is how the people on Mars and Venus and elsewhere receive their energy. That will speed up our evolution tremendously from a technical point of view. Our planet has exerted on it, from a great body in space, a force which pulls it very slightly off its axis, and if it had not been corrected by the Space Brothers, then all life would have been very painful, we would have a cataclysm and so on. They have put around the planet an energetic ring of light which keeps it intact on its axis, and so long as they patrol the planet and keep that going we are safe. They also, so far as our karma allows, neutralize much of the nuclear radiation which we pump into the atmosphere from our nuclear power stations. They also go down into the oceans and neutralize waste which we have dumped there and which otherwise would kill off marine life and further poison the planet. The planet is already polluted to a degree which is now dangerous. Pollution is the greatest killer of all diseases of humanity, and much of it is of nuclear radiation. The advice of Maitreya and the Masters will be to close down immediately all nuclear fission power stations in the world. They could be replaced tomorrow with a safe, fusion, process of nuclear power, as an interim measure before the coming technology of light. Q. Does Maitreya say there is really life on other planets and there are other beings who come to the Earth just to protect us? A. Maitreya has not so far said so directly, but recently he spoke of other beings in space, far advanced, who have always protected humanity. All the planets, without exception, are inhabited. In my experience, UFOs are absolutely real. They cannot usually be seen by us because their normal state is on the higher etheric, not solid, physical levels. When we do see them, this is because they lower the vibrational rate of the vehicles to come within our vision, as a temporary manifestation. They are there all the time in their thousands and even millions. They help us in many ways and without them this Earth would be a very painful place indeed. They mop up a great deal of the nuclear radiation which we release into the atmosphere through nuclear experimentation. Even if a test is underground, contaminated, poison just flies up into the atmosphere. The space beings have implosion devices which neutralize this nuclear radiation. Without their assistance our rivers and streams would be undrinkable, we would, literally, be dying. There would also be large numbers of deformed babies born. All this is a result of our misuse of nuclear energy. Without their help we would be in a very sad state. Q. Do you think there is any threat from the people on other planets? A. Absolutely not. Their intention is totally beneficial, in fact, without their help this planet would not be livable in at this point. We owe them an enormous karmic debt. Q. Has there been interference in world affairs by extraterrestrials? All hierarchies of all the planets in this system are in touch with each other, and everything that takes place in an extraterrestrial sense takes place under law. All the planets of our system are inhabited. But if you were to go to Mars or Venus you would see nobody because they are in physical bodies of etheric matter, finer, subtler, than gas. If you were to go there and had etheric vision they would be as real to you as they are to each other, but if you have not etheric vision, and the bulk of humanity do not as yet have etheric vision, though some people here and there have the beginning of it, to all intents and purposes these planets would seem to be uninhabited. There is ample evidence in the craft which we call UFOs to show that there has been a surveillance of this planet for many years, at least since 1945, but in fact since the beginning of time. This means that this planet is kept intact. There is a huge star out in space which is exerting a magnetic pull on our planet, hence the growing incidence of earthquakes over the last 180 years. What we call the Space Brothers, the people who use the vehicles we call UFOs, who come mainly from Mars and Venus but also from Jupiter, Mercury and a few other planets, have put around our planet a ring of light which keeps it on its axis. It is very slightly off its axis, but this ring allows it, within karmic limits, to be held so that the poles do not flip, which is predicted by many prophets of doom to take place. It will not take place, Nothing can shift that ring of light which is put in place by our space brothers. Without their help, this planet would probably be in chaos. One of the major activities of the space brothers is to neutralize the pollution with which we are destroying our planet, caused in the main by nuclear radiation which is pouring out from the nuclear powerhouses all over the world. Every underground nuclear explosion also puts into the air dust which is totally contaminated by nuclear radiation with a half-life of thousands and thousands of years. Within karmic limits, they mop up as much radiation and pollution as possible, otherwise this planet would by now be unlivable. Pollution, according to the masters, is already the number one killer in the world. It so diminishes the activity of the immune system that people succumb to many diseases such as pneumonia, influenza, AIDS, HIV and so on. The very air we breathe, the water, the soil, is totally polluted, and we are destroying the very planet which we need for our continued existence and that of our children. One of the major things which will happen after the Day of Declaration is the turning of the attention of humanity really strongly to the cleaning up of the environment and making this Earth viable again. Every human being, of whatever age, will be involved in this process. As soon as the needs of the starving millions are met, as soon as the process of sharing is underway, then the attention of all must turn to the support of our ecosystems, otherwise there will be no planet. One of the main factors in maintaining our ecosystem is our space brothers. We owe them an enormous debt. There are various tales in magazines and newspapers of people being taken up, experimented on, and things being inserted under their skin and so on. All of this is totally untrue. There is not a single instance of such happenings. All of these stories are the result either of the fevered astral imagination of people who want to feel these things and do so in an astral sense, which they then describe to others and so build up a climate, or work of certain negative forces in the world whose aim is to keep from the public the reality of the extraterrestrial connection of this planet. All the planets at hierarchic level are interconnected and are all in communication. This solar system acts as a unit. It is not one planet and a whole lot of dead planets. They are all teeming with life at different stages. We are at a midway stage. Venus is unbelievably evolved compared with this planet, as is Jupiter, Mercury, Saturn and various other planets. They have no need to carry out experiments on us, they know. They are so advanced that they can make the UFO craft which are made from etheric matter. They create the crop circles as a means of letting us know, obliquely, that they are here, that the space brothers are real. Only they could simultaneously, in fields all over the south of England, in a few seconds, create unbelievably complex and beautiful crop circles. The technique is programmed into the vehicle, they only have to hover and in a few seconds the work is done. Q. Will space brothers work more openly in the world in the future? A. Yes, the process is already beginning.